We've been talking about God's plan to grow the church His way. And we've talked about how He wants Christians to get the sin out of their life. We've talked about how He wants them to keep the church glorious. And one of the ways to do that is by keeping the proper structure and the proper chain of authority, chain of command, and order about things like we were just talking about. And then last week we began talking about step number three, and that is to exalt Jesus. We talked last week about exalting Jesus' name and what a special name He had. This week we want to talk about exalting Jesus' deity. Now we might not think much about that. We might say, well, yeah, I know Jesus is the Son of God. Well, we need to exalt that part of His personality, that part of His being. We need to be lifting that up and talking about it and making a big deal about it because it's getting forgotten. And we're going to look at five things quickly along these lines. Now, there are many things about Jesus that must be exalted, so let's continue with His deity. The scripture that was read just a while ago in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, The Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. That life was the light of men. And then down in verse 14, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we continue reading in John, we see that that Word, who's also called the light and the life, and that became flesh, is Jesus. That means that Jesus' existence didn't start in Mary's womb. You know, for all of us, our existence began when our mother conceived us. That's when our existence began. Now, we will continue on, even though we physically will die, our spirit will continue on. But we began at that point where we were conceived. That's not so with Jesus. Even though Jesus was conceived in the human fashion and His human body began at that point, He existed before that. And His being was joined with the human at that point. And it's a difficult concept for us to realize sometimes because we can't imagine how that could work. But we've got to just remember that with God, all things are possible. Even things that we can't figure out, He can figure it out. So He did that. Jesus was in existence with the Father throughout all eternity. Already there. Here we read, He was with God and He was God. He wasn't just hanging out with God because God had created Him. He was God. Part of what is referred to as the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look at these five things then. Reason. We must exalt Jesus' deity because it is under attack. That's nothing new. It's been under attack for quite some time. In the first century, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 22 through 25, he says, "Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ?" He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." So, John makes it clear that if you deny the sonhood of Jesus, that you, if you deny that He's God's Son, and if you deny that He came in the flesh as the Christ, the Messiah, then you're an Antichrist. Now sometimes people get all hung up on that word Antichrist, and they expect that to be one person who's going to come and take over the world and try to kill everybody that calls themselves a Christian and all these kind of things. That's not the way it's used in the Bible. In the Bible, throughout, anytime the term Antichrist is used, it simply refers to someone who is against Christ. Someone who doesn't believe in Christ. Someone who rejects what we're talking about, his deity or his humanity. Either one. But we need to emphasize both and exalt Jesus to where he belongs. 1 John 4:3 says, "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." 2 John 1:7 through 11 also talks about this very same thing. That Jesus is the Christ. And he goes on to say, "If anyone who abides not in this doctrine of Christ does not have God." And he says in verse 10 that if someone comes and doesn't bring this doctrine, I know sometimes we apply that to every teaching throughout the Bible. But specifically here, John is talking about someone who comes and doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what he's talking about. And he says, if somebody comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, then don't have anything to do with that person. Don't invite them to your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't say, "God bless you." It'd be more the way we would say it. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, God bless you." Don't say that to somebody who's of this, that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Don't try to bless them. God won't bless someone who rejects his only Son. And he goes on to say, if you bid him Godspeed, you're a partaker of his evil deeds. So we need to remember that. And it is under attack. There are countless people, even supposedly Christian people, people who call themselves Christians. They say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "Well, what about Jesus being the Son of God? What about him being God?" "Oh, no, I don't believe that." Well, how can you call yourself a Christian and not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And yet that creeps in. And it is spreading like wildfire. "Oh, Jesus, he was just a good man." Or, "He was a prophet." The Bible doesn't allow for that. The Bible allows you four choices when it comes to Jesus Christ. You can either reject the Bible entirely and say Jesus was just a myth, man. Just made up. Just make believe. He's a myth. Or you can reject the Bible and say, "You know what? He was a liar. He was a cheat. And he deceived people. He was a bad man." Or you can say, "You know, maybe he really believed those things, but all this, these stories and stuff, they just made that up. And he was a real guy, but he was just a lunatic. He was a madman." Or you can accept what the Bible says about him. And if you accept what the Bible says about him, then you've got to say he was the one and only God-man. The only man ever to be both man and God. And you've got those four choices. You can pick one of those other three and reject the Bible and say those things about him. Or you can accept the Bible and say, yes, he was God. He was the Son of God. But you can't say he was a good man. Because good men wouldn't say and do the things he said and did. And you say, "What do you mean? What do you mean Jesus wasn't good?" Well, Jesus was good. But he did things that only God can do. When he forgave a man of his sins, and the Pharisees said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" They were right. Nobody can forgive your sins but God. Now, I know you mistreat us, I forgive you, and I mistreat you, you say, I forgive you. But as far as actually forgiving the sin, we can't forgive the sin. We can say, "Well, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to, as far as I'm concerned." But that doesn't have any bearing on whether God forgives you or not. I can refuse to forgive you. And God can still forgive you. God's the one that has the power to forgive sin. So when they said, "Who can forgive sin?" They were right. Only God can forgive sin. And Jesus proved that he was God right there. I said, "Well, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk?" So he said, "Get up and walk." And the guy got, and right there, the guy got up and walked. He proved he had the power of God right then. A bad man couldn't have done the things that he did. And a good man wouldn't have accepted the worship that he accepted. Thomas felt, my Lord and my God. Jesus should have, if he was a good man, he would have said, whoa, get back up. I'm just a man like you. That's what Peter did. That's what Paul did. That's what other good men did. Even angels. When John fell at the feet of the angel said, get up. I'm serving the Most High God just like you. If Jesus accepted worship and he wasn't God, then he wasn't a good man. The claims that he makes for himself, the things that he did, the worship that he accepted, that lets us know either he was God or he was not good. Can't have a good man or a prophet. Moses never accepted those kinds of worshipful things toward him that Jesus accepted. No. He was a prophet. He was a good man. Lawgiver even. But he wasn't God, and he knew it. He was a man. He knew where he stood. So Jesus' deity is under attack. Secondly, we must exalt Jesus' deity because we wouldn't be here without it. I know, what? What does his deity have to do with us being here? Everything. What did we read in John? Everything that was made by him. If he wasn't God, none of this would have ever been made. He made it all. Who would have made it if it wasn't him? He made it. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He created all things by Jesus Christ. When we read in Genesis, God said, let there be light, the Word. The Word is what made it happen. And Jesus is the Word. God said, let there be light. And Jesus made there be light. I know it doesn't read that way in Genesis, but from what we read in John and here in Ephesians 3:9 and also in Colossians 1:13-19, it's clear. Jesus did the work. God was, the Father was the supervisor. And so he said, go do this. And Jesus went and did it. And go do this. And Jesus went and did it. And the Word did the work. But we wouldn't be here if Jesus weren't divine. If he were not deity, we wouldn't be here. We would have never been created. The world wouldn't be here. So all those folks who want to praise God but reject Jesus. When our founding fathers founded this country and when they wrote all men, and I know they didn't include women at that time, but just men. But when they said all men are endowed by their Creator, whether they knew it or not, they were talking about Jesus. Now, I know some of them, you know, say, well, they believed in God but not Jesus, you know, and there's all sorts of arguments about that have. But whether they knew it or not, they were really talking about Jesus. When they said our Creator, oh, I know the Father created, but Jesus was the working force behind that creation as well. Colossians 1 there, he makes it clear, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And notice verse 17. And he is the head of the, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What holds the earth together? Gravity? No. Jesus. What keeps the earth in rotation and in revolution around the sun? What keeps it spinning and what keeps it going around the sun? What keeps it from flying away? Well, the sun's gravitational pull. But no. I'm sorry, scientists, but you're wrong. Jesus. Jesus keeps it together. He holds it all together. And one day, he's going to let go. We know what that day is, don't we? That's going to be the end of the world. Gravity's not going to help. The sun's pull isn't going to matter. When he lets go, it's going to go. That's going to be the end of it. The elements will melt. The whole sky is going to pass away with a great noise. The whole earth's going to burn up because he let go. We're here because of him, because he is holding it together. That's Peter in 2 Peter talks about Jude also talks about those that talk mockers, scorning God, and where's the sign of his coming and all these things. And the idea that he points out is they forget something, they're willfully ignorant that there was a world before the flood came and it was wiped out. And he said that same power, same force that kept the world is now reserving it until the time of judgment. And it's going to rain, but it won't be water next time. It'll be fire. Then the third thing that we see is that we need to exalt Jesus' deity because we can't get home without it. Now, I don't mean that after church you're not going to be able to make it to your house, although we already covered that part. But when we say home, we're talking about heaven. You're not going to get to go be with God the Father without Jesus Christ. If he is not God, then we'll never make it. Notice what John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 7. You hear this at funerals a lot of times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, you better believe in me. And he explains why. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Guess what? If Jesus isn't God, he couldn't go to heaven to prepare a place for us. He wouldn't be able to. Then he says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If he wasn't God, he wouldn't be able to make that promise and keep it either. And the way you know, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, if he was a man, that's a pretty arrogant statement to make. I mean, can you imagine a man saying that? But for the Son of God, that's a perfectly logical thing for him to say. You know, how many powerful people are in the world and they've got their Son as the and you've got to come to the Son and the Son decides who gets to go in to see the Father. I know it works that way in the mob. Mafia. That's the way they. You can't get in to see the Godfather unless you're in good with the Son. But this kind of thing. But that's what Jesus basically says. He said, "You can't get to heaven without me." So all these folks, and I saw every so often you see these polls. People will ask about famous people and whether they think they're going to heaven. I know back years ago. When Bill Clinton was president, they asked about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and they asked about Michael Jordan and some of the other, you know, and actors and actresses and different, you know, and they asked all these, and people, oh yeah, this one, oh yeah, they're going, and all these people were going to go to heaven. Some of these folks they claimed were going to heaven didn't even believe in Jesus, much less follow him. These folks probably think these avowed atheists are going to be there. And people say, well, how could God not? How could, if he's a loving God, if he's a merciful God, how could he put people in hell? They're asking the wrong question. If he's a loving and merciful God, and if he's a just God, how could he not put people in hell that belong there? What would heaven be like if he allowed all the murderers and thieves and rapists and child molesters and devil worshippers and atheists, and if he allowed all those folks into heaven, what would heaven be like? Well, it'd be like hell. So he just put them where they belong and let those that are willing to worship him and serve him and follow him come be with him. But we can't get home without the deity of Jesus. And then the fourth thing we want to notice is that we need to exalt the deity of Jesus because it puts us in our place. Puts us in our place. You know, sometimes we get too big for our britches. And I don't mean because we ate too much over Thanksgiving. We get arrogant and boastful and proud of ourselves and lift up. And we get the big head. 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 28. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now notice verse 25. For he must reign. He's a king. He's on the throne. He's reigning. And he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. You don't want to be one of his enemies. Because he's going to reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. He said the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet. If you're not under Jesus' feet, you're in the wrong place. And if you're not under Jesus' feet, you're going to get put there. If you're trying to rebel against him, you're being his enemy, he's going to put you where you belong, under his feet. The Bible has an interesting thing to say in one place. It talks about him as the stone of stumbling and the cornerstone and things. And in one place it mentions the fact that whoever falls on him will be broken. We need to be broken. Because we can't do it on our own. We need to be broken. It needs to be brought under his control and tamed. But he says, on whomsoever that rock falls,